Like I said, my name is Jordan Gash. I'm from Coast Hills Church down in Aliso Viejo. My church is up here this week, which is great for them, for me and for them, so we're excited. And so I'm beginning to kind of wonder, why in the world would you choose this seminar over other seminars? And I can guarantee you it's probably not because I'm cooler than Eagle and Child, you know, and I'm probably not smarter than Colton that was over there, but I think I know why. I think I know specifically why you guys might have chose this seminar. It's because of the topic. The topic is strikes a chord with you. When you hear the words busyness and you hear the words overscheduled, when you hear the words stress, or you're trying to navigate all of this stuff with faith and schedule and sports and SATs. Maybe that SAT was the trigger word for you and you chose this. But there's some reason that it hit with you guys and you decided, I need to go to that and I need to sit down for that. Well, I could tell you that I so relate with you. I could totally relate with you. My life is overscheduled. My life is so chaotic. I'm balancing multiple roles at the church. I got two young kids. I'm in seminary right now. I got so much that I'm dealing with that I also am in this journey of trying to figure out, how do you really navigate a healthy, developing faith with Jesus when you have all this stuff stacked on top of you? And so I'm kind of with you in this journey. And I want to kind of share a little bit what I've learned in that journey. Kind of some of the tidbits that I've received that have helped me to kind of continue on with Jesus. And to not only just continue on and just maintain, but actually to grow and to develop and to actually use my busyness as an opportunity to teach me something. And so I'm excited that you guys are here. I'm excited that I get a chance to talk to you guys. I'd love to open up with a word of prayer to begin, and then we will get into this. So would you guys bow your heads with me? Jesus, you are Lord. You're our Savior. You've come into our lives. You've done a new and mighty work within us. God, and we trust you. We trust you when everything seems swirling, everything seems chaotic, everything seems overwhelming. We trust you. We know that we have an enemy, the devil, that would want to tell us that there's no way that we can make it, that there's no way that we can have faith and this other life that we want. But God, we want to make you the priority. We want to listen to your voice, not his voice. Because you will speak wisdom into us. So God, we pray that you'll speak in the seminar. I pray that it can be valuable for the students that are sitting here and the leaders that are sitting here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
All right. So as I said, a lot of you guys are here because you have busy schedules. You're trying to figure that out. You guys are balancing so much different things. Well, I have really, really, really good news for you right now. You don't got to think about that stuff right now. You're at Hume Lake, man. You don't got to worry about SATs and football practice and homework and balancing all of this. No. Milkshakes. You know, that's where it's at, right? Milkshakes. The lake. Sitting on those Adirondacks with that special crush that you've been having all week, you know, and trying to, you know, make that first asking out on a date. No, think about those things, because you don't need to be thinking about those things. So if you are thinking about those things, stop. Stop now, okay? I rebuke those thoughts right now because I can't be thinking of those things. I need to be all present here and enjoying the sunshine and the breeze and my friends. Okay, so stop, and I want you guys to clear your mind a little bit for this seminar so that you can receive. So what I want us all to do to begin with is I want us to all take a big deep breath in. Ready? And let it out. All right, we're gonna take one more, but this time I want you to imagine anything that you're worried or stressed or thinking about right now. That goes in, and then I want you to let it out, right? Ready? One, two, three. Ready? In. Okay, so now that your minds are cleared and that you're able to listen and focus, I hope that this is a powerful word for you. Because I've done ministry for 10 years now, and I've been seeing the trend. The trend is that students these days are becoming only more and more and more busy. There's a high demand on success. There's a high demand in getting into that right college. There's a high demand on making sure you have all your ducks in a row perfectly. And I know for a fact, because I've seen it happen over the 10 years, I've studied, I've seen the statistics that students are beginning to put faith and being a part of a church on the back burner due to schedule and due to the complexities of trying to figure everything out. They don't know how to balance it, and I've seen that over, and it takes a huge toll on your faith. I've experienced that. Not only seen it, I've experienced it myself. So I know that it takes a toll. But as I said, the seminar is called Help. My schedule is eating my faith. And so I hope that from today that I can offer you a little bit of help. Okay, and we're going to go through those four letters. Help. H-E-L-P. We're going to be looking at honesty, examination, listening, and progress. So H is honesty. E is examination. L is listening. And P is progress. And I hope that by the end, we could all be at the P. That we can be making progress in our faith with Jesus. Okay, the Bible says, and I love this verse because it speaks really into my soul and kind of where I've been before. The Bible says in Psalm, this is going to be difficult with the wind. It says in Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3, says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. But here's what I want you to hear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. How many of you guys, by raising of hands, how many of you guys sometimes feel like your life is like a roaring, raging river? And that the world is quaking around you. That you're in this place and you're around in this chasm and you're holding up these shaking walls and you feel like, I gotta hold it up before everything just caves in on itself. I've been there. I know that. And so the Bible's talking about the fact that the Lord is our refuge, even in the midst of that. And so the first step in our journey and kind of finding help is to be honest, to have honesty. It's a super simple step, incredibly simple step. But number one, we just gotta be honest that we need help. We gotta be honest with ourselves that we can't keep up the pace of life that we're in right now. That's one of the accountability questions I have with my wife. Can we keep up with the pace of life that we're living right now? And so you gotta just take that step and say, you know what? I can't do it. I'm in trouble. I need help. I can't maintain. If you're sinking in quicksand and you don't ask for help, you're gonna be buried. You gotta make that first step in being honest with yourself that you can't manage your schedule right now. And so what I want to ask you guys is, how depleted are you right now? As you guys look at it, we're going to be looking at this kind of bucket illustration in just a sec. But as you think about the bucket of your life, where are you? How filled are you right now? Do you feel like, you know what, you're somewhat halfway, but you feel like it's sinking fast? Do you feel like you're at the bottom, that there's nothing left, that there's only a few drops left in the tank, and then you're gone? Take an honest assessment of where you think, and you're the only one that can do that for yourself. People can offer different things and offer insight and say, man, you're busy. Wow, you got a lot on your plate. How are you doing? But only you truly know the condition of your soul. Only you know the condition of yourself and where you're at. So take an honest assessment of where you are. Be honest with yourself. That's the first step. Because how do you guys behave when we're depleted? What are some of the things, like, throw it out there. This is not a rhetorical question. I want to hear. What are some of the ways that your character, your attitude changes when you're depleted? What are some of the ways that it manifests in your life? Yeah.
Less patient.
Less patient. Okay. Angry.
Apathetic.
What else? Yeah.
Easily angered.
Corner yourself off from everyone. Isolate yourself. Anything else? Yeah.
Frustrated.
Yeah, confused. So you hear all these things. Are any of these things good things? So we could easily, okay, I like to take things and make them simple. Okay, depletion equals bad things. Okay, it makes it simple, but it's easy to remember. Okay, when I'm depleted, I behave in a way that I don't want to behave. I'm less patient, I'm confused, I'm frustrated, I'm easily angered. All of these different things. One of the key things that I notice, and you could find that in kind of psychological studies and research,
One of the key things that you can find when somebody's depleted and burnt out is resentment. You're resentful towards others. Again, it goes along with not being patient with others, but you like to blame the busyness on somebody else. Man, if only my teacher would just lay off the homework, man. I'm busy, I got other things I'm trying to do. Man, my parents, all they want, they expect so much of me. Man, my youth pastor plans all these events. How am I supposed to balance this and all these things? And now I feel bad. You have like resentment, it comes about. But what's interesting, right? Studies show that the resentment, you can't be angry. I'm gonna wait for this thing to pass for a sec. Pause. Thank you, Cisco, for providing all our napkins and plates and all the things that we have at camp. All right. So things, studies show, right, that you can't blame anybody else for the busyness that you have. Because actually, all statistics show that you choose your schedule. It's your choice. You may not think it's your choice, but that's because you placed expectations on yourself. Maybe you have expectations from other people, but still, it's your choice. So you can't be angry at your parents. Yeah, I know that a lot of you guys have parents that have high expectations. But ultimately, it's your choice. You need to begin to work through this. And when I hear that, I'm like, ouch, ow. Because I'm like, I do that. I get angry at people. I'm like, man, if my boss let up, I got other things. I can't manage two jobs, two roles. And I like when I hear the fact that statistically and psychologically it's my choice and that I'm actually the keeper of my own schedule, it kind of stings a little bit. Like I don't like that because basically I see that I've done this to myself. That's tough to hear. Okay, this is interesting. I found out this is totally side note, unrelated. But interestingly enough, there shows less stress levels when actually students and kids plan their schedules with their parents. When they sit down with their parents and they work through their schedules together, that actually shows statistically less stress, which is kind of interesting to find out. So finding balance, though, this is the first step, right? Honesty. And finding balance for that is that first step, and it's going to help your faith. But honestly, you guys, it's more than faith. This is your life. If you can't figure this out, if you can't figure out how to manage or get help, you're going to not crash and burn only in your faith. You're going to crash and burn in your life. So many different things. So you have to take this first step in saying, I need help. Okay? Examination. That's E. Examination. So how many of you guys know what a tachometer is? Yeah, probably not a whole lot of people. But I'm going to teach you what a tachometer is. A tachometer is something in a car or a machine or a boat or whatever it might be, but it measures and it gauges RPMs, which stand for revolutions per minute. Okay, when you rev your engine and you hear the loud noises, that's because there's more revolutions in your engine, and so your RPMs go up, and your tachometer is telling you that you got high RPMs. Now, this is an amazing illustration when we look at tachometer, because here's the truth. With a machine or your life, you can only rev it for so long until something blows up. You can only rev it for so long until something blows up. You may feel like powerful and you're moving fast when the revolutions are going up and you're moving super fast. But if you maintain that speed, something will blow up. And many times it is your faith. Many times it is your faith walk with Jesus. Sometimes it's your relationship with your parents. Sometimes it's a relationship with a boyfriend or girlfriend. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's an addiction or whatever it might be. But you can't rev for that long and not see something go awry, go wrong. So we need to take an examination of our gauges. We need to take an examination of the tachometer of our life. Are we revving the engine too high for too long? Okay, look at those gauges. Okay, another question that I want you guys to answer. Okay, give me some examples. What are some of the key things in your life that are sucking up your time? Key things that are sucking up your time, yeah. Sports. Okay? Work. Yeah, work. Yeah. School. Totally sucks up your time.
Phone.
Good one. Procrastination. You're a little sick.
progressing. Okay.
Doug.
All right, there you go.
What's up?
Applying for colleges.
Yeah.
Tons of time. Super stressful.
Anything else? What else sucks up your time?
How many of you guys are involved in clubs?
You know, you're in the NHS or CSF or whatever it might be. You know, that's going to help with college.
What about extracurricular activities?
Things that you're doing,
okay?
What about youth group,
okay?
You got to be honest, right? Youth group is a great thing, and we're going to talk about that in a sec. Youth group is a great chance for you to connect with friends and family, but still, youth group is not a replacement for your faith. I want to say that again. Youth group is not the replacement for your faith. You're not thriving with Jesus simply because you go to youth group. And I am a testament to the fact that, man, I was so involved in church when I was growing up, all the time. Everything I could be involved in, I was doing. I thought it was good. Oh, thanks, man. But,
what's up?
Things are falling all over the place.
Thank you.
I was involved with all that stuff. But what I found is that even in the midst of being busy with youth group and serving Jesus, it actually depleted my faith because I wasn't spending personal time with him. So that's something. All these things are part of it. And then as we continue to look at our faith and we can begin to take an examination of our faith, right? The question I want to ask is, why do you think it is that our faith and going to church sometimes takes a back seat? Why does it usually get down to the bottom of the priority list? Why do you think that is? Yeah. Huge. There's no physical consequences if you don't do it. It's a big one. What's else? It's not valued by everyone.
Yeah.
It's good. What else? Why do you think faith and going to church takes a back seat? Anybody else? One more. Give me one more. Yeah. It's always there. It's truth. It continues on. Yeah. The enemy wants to take you out. Yeah, that's right. It's one of those things, right, that the enemy is actively trying to get you to get rid of. Yeah. Sure, yeah. The sense of, well, I have to take care of my own life. I need to be in control of my own life, and if I'm entrusting with Jesus, that's not as secure. That's not as what I really need right now. I need to be in control of what I have. But one of the key questions that we ask when we examine our life, this is most important. If you guys are taking notes, I want you to write this down. The question you need to ask yourself is simple, three letters. Why? Why? What is the motivation for all the things that you're placing in your life? Why? Is it your parents' expectation? Is it your own expectation? Do you feel like you have to prove yourself to somebody? Is it your sense of identity and worth? Being smart, getting straight A's, is that your identity? Begin to look at that stuff. I have this illustration, you guys, right here that I wanted to show you guys. It's simple. It's a bucket, right? We talked about how full is your bucket and kind of where you're at with that. And as we look at our life, right, we can maintain being steady. And I know not everybody can see this, but you guys are kind of get the picture even if you can't see it. But we begin to look at these different things in our life, and we begin to say, all right, there's different things that I know that I want to do and I want to do well. There's a homework down here, HW, okay? That's the first one. All right, we definitely know that we're going to have to take care of homework right there. Okay? And then we look at it, all right, well, if I really want to do well, I got to play football. You know, I might got to get a scholarship so I can make some money there. But in fact, the matter, what if football doesn't work out? So I probably should play baseball too. So you do two sports, or you do a sport and then you do it in club too. You do it at school and you do it in club. You begin to do that. And then you take these other things. Well, I got to maintain my social life on Instagram, so that's going to take time. Okay, I got to study for SATs. That's going to take time. Well, if I don't do clubs, colleges won't look at me. That's going to take time. Okay, oh, I have a girlfriend or boyfriend now. I got to make sure that's maintained. That's going to take time, right? And then you begin to take extracurricular activities. And you begin to see whatever this one. Oh, youth group. I already said that one. Okay? Oh, and I gotta have a job. I gotta work. Right? Sorry, I don't want you to get wet over there. But you guys can begin to see, right? It's a super, I like to be simple. I like to take truths and make it applicable and simple. You look at this, right? What's happening? It's draining. You've chosen more and more things, and with each thing I added, which each thing I took, it began to drain at a faster capacity. What's that?
One fell in
my pocket? It's all right. It gets bigger. So there's so many other things, other hooks here that I put here that could be whatever it might be. But what I'm trying to say is ultimately there could be multiple different things that you are adding to your life that is draining you. And each one you add to your life, it takes energy. And so this is the examination process. How's my life looking? Is it draining super fast because I'm committed to too much? That I'm trying to give too much to everything. Solomon. How many of you guys know who Solomon is? Solomon was a character in the Bible. Smartest guy who ever lived. Probably richest guy who ever lived in history. He did everything. He had it all. Man, he had all the riches. He had all the wisdom. He had all the girls. He had all the things. He was all of it. He had it all. But if you read a book called Ecclesiastes, the middle of your Bible, you can begin to see Solomon's examination of his life. It's this process that he's seeing. And everything that he sees is beginning to say that it's all meaningless. It's meaningless. He says in Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes 2:11, he says, "Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." But here's the conclusion that he makes. As he looks at everything in his life, he had education, he had wisdom, he had it all. He toiled and toiled and toiled. And when he saw it, it was meaningless, but he said this, he goes, "I see it is from the hand of God, for without him, who can eat or find any enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and big one here, happiness." How many of you guys could go for a little bit of happiness right now? Because you're in the chasm, right? You're holding things together. And hopefully this week can even be a part of that and providing a little bit of respite, a little bit of rest in the midst of all the stuff that you're dealing with. He also says in Ecclesiastes 8:12, he says, "I know that it will go better with God-fearing men who are reverent before God." You're draining. You're depleting. Something's got to be done. I've examined my life. I need the help. Then we begin to listen. If you guys have Bibles, I want you guys to flip to Luke 10. I want you guys to read a little story that we have here. Luke 10, starting at verse 38. Luke is in your New Testament. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's the third book of the New Testament. If you hit Revelation, you've gone too far. So turn back. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Look for the guys' names. Find it, okay? Luke. Verse 38, we're going to be starting. It's a story that many of you guys probably have heard, but I want you guys to apply it to what you're learning today, okay? It says in verse 38, "While they were traveling, he entered a village." This is Jesus. "He entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home." Stop there for just a moment. Jesus is coming through town. And here's Martha, and she sees Jesus, and she welcomes him into her home. I'd imagine that most of you guys, maybe not everybody here, but I'm asking most of you guys, due to the topic and why you guys are here, most of you guys have had that initial encounter with Jesus. You've said yes to him. You've said yes to a relationship with him. He's entered your home. He's come in. He's given you that initial filling. Okay, but listen to what it says as it goes on. "And she had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said." But see verse 40. "But Martha was," what does it say? distracted by her many tasks. Hear that truth, you guys. You invited him into your home, but you are distracted by your many tasks. Martha lived in this place of wanting to just make sure things were right, wanting to make sure everything was nice and decorated, everything was perfect, that there was the right meal, that there, her life looked good and was in order, so it was pleasing for Martha, or first, pleasing for Jesus, who was there. But he goes on to say, he goes, she gets upset at her sister, Mary. She's like, look at this sluggard, Mary, my sister, she's lazy. She's sitting around, all she's doing is listening. And Jesus says, Mary, you're worried about too many things. Mary's chosen what is better. To sit at the feet of Jesus and to listen is better than those straight A's. It's better than getting into that right college. It's better than making sure that you're the president of that club next year. It's more important. So we have to listen. We have to listen to Jesus as we begin to look at it. If you guys go back, it says in that verse that we looked at in 46. I'll go ahead and read it for you guys. But we looked, right? It's talking about the walls that were shaking and quaking, the mountain walls that are shaking, and it's a raging, surging river. And that's what our life feels like. But it goes on to say in verse 7 of Psalm 46, he says, the Lord of armies is with us. Verse 4, my apologies. There is a river. Its streams delight the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is within her. She will not be toppled. God will help her. When the morning dawns and nations rage, kingdoms topple, the earth melts when he lifts his voice. The Lord of the armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come and see the works of the Lord. And it goes on in verse 10. It says, stop your fighting and know that I am God. Or it says, be still and know that I am God. Even when the world shakes and your world is all apart, there is a place that you can go where the streams are refreshing. We can find joy and fulfillment. You know, many times what we do when we see the condition of our soul, we go, dang, I'm dying here. I'm sinking. I'm depleting. Dude, and you try to figure out these different things. What can help me? What if I play some video games? That might help for a little bit. It might distract you for a little bit. Or I just need to, maybe it's a physical encounter with your boyfriend or girlfriend. Maybe that'll help. And you begin to try to put things in, but it continues to seep out. The fact of the matter is that when you try to have things that are external to fill you, it won't solve the problem. Drugs won't solve the problem. Pornography won't solve the problem. Hanging with your friends won't even solve the problem. None of these things are going to solve the problem. The Bible says when Jesus meets a woman in John 4, he says, you know, that if you would have asked me, I would have given you living water. He describes that the relationship that she can have with Jesus is like a bubbling spring. It's internal. It continues. The thing about external is that these cups, those cups, wherever they went, I don't know where they went. Those cups, wherever they went, they're only so full. You can only add so much. But a bubbling spring continues to bubble up. It bubbles up from within. So that's the source. And so obviously, we begin to forget, and I have this hose plugged up in here, that we connected to Jesus. And yet at some point, we begin to turn that nozzle down. Turn it down and turn it down because we're trying to do all these other things, right? And then I have this picture, right? I should have had somebody else do this. But you begin to fill again, right? The Lord bubbles up within you. He's bubbling up within you. And though you're still engaged in some of these things, you guys, as you begin to see this, you might want to scoop back. It's going to start overflowing. as you begin to see this, he not only does it, he fills you to overflowing.
Your backpack in there.
Thanks, man.
What about your, he doesn't care about
it. You know? Yeah. I test out some illustrations beforehand, but not this one. All right.
Yeah, I know.
Do
You guys see what I'm talking about here? We cannot ever neglect the power of connecting with Jesus. That's why it's first. It is priority one. You have to realize you cannot do all these other things without the power of Jesus, without connecting with Jesus first. And so my answer to how do you help and develop a thriving faith is you remember the fact that it's most important. You remember the fact that I've done the examination of my life, I can't do it on my own, and I see that unless I have the infilling of Jesus constantly overwhelming, I can do nothing. It's got a duration. I'm revving the RPMs, it's gonna blow at some point. So we have to find that time. Simple way that I do it. Okay, it doesn't have to be your way, but simple way that I do, right? Time with Jesus is first thing in my day. It's the first thing I do. Some of you guys are like, well, I get up pretty early for school, I have zero period. Well, you might have to get up a little earlier. Maybe it's a simple, tangible way of saying, you know what? I'm putting Jesus first. He's the first thing that comes to my day because I realize that I can't do anything else without him. I need to listen to him. I need to sit at his feet and find that empowerment. And we get to this point in P, right? In progress. And what happens is, you guys, you actually find that when you're dedicating this time that you think is so precious to Jesus, you're like, my hours and my minutes are so valuable. I need to get this done, and I need to get this done, and I need to get this done. You guys will begin to see that when you actually begin to dedicate time to Jesus, actually, you're more capable. You're more capable to do everything else. And if you don't think so, I dare you to try it. I dare you. Watch what happens when you begin to take that time regularly and to invest in Jesus. And if it comes at the sacrifice, right, of something else, who cares? This is most important. Yeah, you want to do everything else. Well, you want to connect with your meet some different expectations. You want to get into a good college. None of that is bad. The Lord says that we need to do things to excellence, and he wants the most out of us. We need to give, our best in all things that we do. And so these things aren't bad. They're not wrong. They are good, but they're not most good. The most good thing, crazy bug flying around. All right, the most good thing is to be with Jesus. And you will find progress in that. And here's what I want to say. I want to say a quick word to close this out. And then I'm going to share something with you guys. But youth pastors or youth leaders, if you guys are in here, I also have to tell you something. I also have to encourage you guys in saying, youth ministry needs to evolve. It'll always be about relationships. It'll always be about relationships and truth. But it's got to evolve because the fact of the matter is that schedules are getting busier and busier and busier. We need to be pastors and leaders that begin to shepherd our flock well. We have to put back the fact that trying to bring kids to church and bringing church to kids and being able to do that well. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. That comes at the end of the verse talking about not worrying about clothes or not worrying about what you're going to eat. I would beg to apply that to the 21st century and saying, don't worry about those grades. Don't worry about, making sure that you get that, whatever it is in club. Don't worry about making sure you make varsity next year. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. How many of you guys would say this is true? This word right here. Then believe that. Believe it. And live it out. Let me pray for you guys. You guys will be dismissed. God, we thank you for being our Lord and our Savior, for being the one that guides us and strengthens us. I pray that students would hear this word of help, and they would seek you out. They would listen to you. They would be willing and excited to sit at your feet. God, we lift up the rest of this week. May you continue to pour into us in ways that we need. Pray this in all Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
You guys have questions, happy to answer. Hey, you guys. See you guys.